Before today's episode, I want to give a content warning, and there are no jokes in it because you're about to hear plenty of them. This episode centers on pretty facetious treatment of a lot of serious things. They include violence against children, sexual assault and coercion, stalking and harassment, suicide. Pretty much all of these topics are suggested by the contents of this page, believe it or not, and their presence in this usually goofy RPG is more or less the topic of this episode. So if you're sensitive to any of those things, or if you just don't want to joke around about them right now, this is maybe not the ideal time for this episode to drop, given all that's been going on in the tabletop gaming world recently. So if this doesn't sound like it's up your alley, or it's not up your alley right now, this is your warning. Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 332 of Heroes Unlimited, and it's going to be a bit of a heavy one. We're in the magic section. We're still making our way through the spell list, and we've really gotten into the heavy-duty spells now. We're on to level 8 spells. Many of these spells are very potent. Stone to Flesh is on this level, which is, you know, despite my mockery of it days ago, a fairly useful spell. It permanently turns stone into flesh, so you can turn, you know, a section of a stone wall or something permanently into meat that you can hack through. Certainly useful in, like, a dungeon environment, maybe less so for a modern game. But that's really the only dubious one on this page in terms of power level. Wisps of Confusion gives an average of 5 people at once pretty big debuffs. Negate Magic, of course, the true calling of every wizard to cancel out other wizards. Gotta have Negate Magic. Metamorphosis colon human allows you to turn yourself into a whole other person. Great for disguise and impersonation. I'm not finding fault with any of these on power level, including the one I want to talk about today. The first one that appears on this page, Love Charm. I don't really know how this episode is going to develop, but I feel that it might be a bit of a heavy one. It might be both heavy in the sense of, like, serious topics, in the sense of being, like, one of my preachy episodes, which I know you all love. You all look forward to the day when, instead of hearing me spout my usual bullshit and be funny and make fun of superhero costumes, I just step behind the old podcast pulpit and give you a much-needed lesson in right and wrong from no less an authority than a minor comedy gaming podcaster. Heavy in that sense. Also heavy, though, in the sense of, like, crunchy design stuff. All these issues intersect when it comes to Love Charm, because fundamentally, here's what Love Charm is. And this is, like, one of those generational problems in role-playing that we've talked about before. It used to be, back when, you know, safety tools for gaming meant, like, remember to bring a life jacket if you're gaming on a fishing boat, it used to be that it was common for games to casually drop some real serious traumatic shit on the basis of, like, random roles and casual events in a game. The classic example is a situation where the player characters go in to, like, clear out some orcs in a Dungeons & Dragons campaign and then discover those orcs' children abandoned there, now without parents. So you've just killed their only means of support. The game dictates to you that all orcs will inevitably grow to be evil, and you've got no one to leave these kids with. So the question is, do we kill the children? Do we leave the children to die of exposure? Or do we venture into enemy territory with them with time and resources we don't have, knowing that these orcs will grow up to be evil because their race is always evil? Obviously, we've got some minor problems of, like, political correctness slash basic decency involved in this situation. But from a design perspective, the problem is, who wants to deal with this shit at the Thursday game session? I mean, me, but only when I'm ready for it. You know, if I'm playing a big, beefy barbarian who looks like Charlotte Flair dressed as Barbarella, and her name is, like, Hammerclit, that's a certain kind of fun to have with a certain kind of group in a certain kind of game. Quite incompatible with now having to look into the eyes of starving orc children and decide whether to put them down or loose them into the woods like feral dogs so that we can continue our mission. Like, I've played many characters who I would be fascinated to see them deal with this situation. Just not Hammerclit, all right? Like, leave me alone when I'm doing this. Older games often do not respect this. Oftentimes, things casually or randomly happen that bring serious shit to the table. Endangerment to children is one of these things. Another one, arguably much more serious, is sexual violence. There are various kinds of, like, sexual force and coercion involved quite casually with a lot of older gaming stuff. I mean, I remember being on the internet and seeing, I think for AD&D, it was, like, on Usenet or somewhere, somebody was complaining, like, what about my character with high charisma? What do I do to, like, rein in this player character who's cheesed out their charisma or their comeliness or whatever, and now they're bending all the NPCs to their will with their charms. And the answer was, have them gang raped by orcs to like balance them. This was not uncommon sort of practice in the bad old days of gaming. For reasons that should be painfully obvious, this blind spot for like, maybe this isn't an appropriate or fun thing to bring to the table, tended to be a lot of stuff that like women and girls would have to deal with in their real lives very commonly, but were things that maybe teenage boys were a lot more comfortable joking about because it didn't really hit home. The real problem here, from my perspective, as someone who has been a shitty teenage boy, and still is in some ways, the problem is not addressing these topics in gaming, for sure. The problem is in springing them on people without a mechanism for them to opt out, and secondarily, in kind of a drier design perspective, the problem is having these things happen randomly. I mean, I love a Palladium table, and I love the freewheeling randomness of the Palladium system in some ways, but it's not a good mix for topics that are likely to be really seriously traumatic for people. And I'm not just thinking here of people who might take offense, however justifiably, at this sort of topic. I'm also thinking of people like, I know a lot of gamers, especially in Palladium fandom, have been in the military. And you could easily be playing with someone who is trying to have a good time, and maybe there are certain things they don't want to come up in the game. And views can vary, and groups can vary on how necessary it is to have like very explicit and robust safety tools to make sure that person is safe. Maybe if they have, an actual condition of some kind based on their experiences, versus maybe like if we all know each other and this is just sort of a preference or a distaste rather than like a sort of diagnosable issue, then maybe it's enough for us just to all know, like, we know Bill, we know what's up with Bill, so let's not go to certain places with him and then he feels comfortable saying, hey, let me, step away, or hey, let's not, could be kind of informal. The worst case scenario, though, is when we roll on a table that tells us this is happening. So it's like the rules of the game are saying, hey, fuck Bill, this is what we're doing. And that, I feel, is what's going on with Love Charm. So let's get to the actual rules, and you can see how much this spell kind of forces some unpleasant content into your game. So Love Charm is a spell that's got a touch range. It lasts 5 minutes per level of experience, costs 40 PPE. So this is a big gun. Long story short, if somebody fails their save, they fall in love with the caster. If they fail, they love you, they trust you, they'll do whatever you tell them for the duration. However, they're also going to be all up on you. It says here, quote, the charmed person will constantly stay at the caster's side and will often suggest amorous pleasures, which is like 10 times as creepy as writing, the charmed person will constantly try to fuck you. Like, ideally, you keep it in your pants, but if you gotta say, hey, I want to fuck you, that's 10 times better than this milady bullshit with amorous pleasures. So far, so good, kind of. Like, it's a spell you cast for a desired effect. You get the effect. There's a problem with maybe casting this on other player characters so that someone has to, like, roleplay wanting to fuck you. But that's, like, more general PvP stuff, right? If we're a table where people can freely abuse each other's characters and screw up each other's gaming experience and make each other play things we don't want to play, then we've already got problems, and this just sort of exacerbates them. We really run into trouble with side effects. Now, side effects don't just apply when you screw it up, like when you cast the spell wrong. You always roll on this table, and there's a 50% chance that there's no side effect. But the other 50% of the time, some bad shit can happen. So let's take a hypothetical example. And let's assume someone who used this spell like in good fun and good faith. Let's say we've got a character who's trying for sort of like a sex farce vibe, right? Like, let's say we've got a caster named Allison, and it's like the Miller's Tale. And so you're trying to do something really fun where there's this annoying dude, and Allison wants to cast a spell on him, Love Charm, to make him love her so she can then trick him into literally kissing her asshole, just like in the Miller's Tale, because English literature is extremely classy. So Allison casts Love Charm. What happens? 50% of the time, he does it. He kisses your butt, laughs all around, pass the pizza. We're all having a good time here, to the extent that we enjoy asshole kissing in our superhero role-playing experience. But that's the 50% of the time when there's no side effect. If there is a side effect, there is all told a 5% chance that things get real dark. This guy, he may kiss your butt. Sure, he might. Haha. Funny joke. However, he also demands affection from you. He demands your love, probably demands sex. And if he doesn't get it, he commits fucking suicide. This is dictated by the rules. It's a balancing factor on the spell. So this is not something you can just readily ignore. You have to cope with a 5% chance that when you try to play a funny joke on someone and get them to kiss your butt, you accidentally cause them to demand to fuck you and then kill themselves. I mean, unless you fuck them. Unless you're, I guess, a principled or scrupulous alignment and you feel like, okay, I cast this spell, this person's life is now imperiled, I guess I have to have sex with them, otherwise I'm morally responsible for their suicide. This is some real dark stuff. Like, all I wanted was my butthole kissed. Now we got this whole complicated rapey moral dilemma happening, based on a random roll, too. So already we've got sexual coercion, we've got a moral obligation to have sex with someone, so that's a consent issue right there. We've also got suicide, all on the table now. Other things that can happen. For 1 to 4 days, the target demands your quote-unquote affection and will stalk you, possibly harass you, and will use violence against your friends if you don't give in. So Allison is just out for a good time. Allison just wants her butthole kissed because it's funny. Not in a sexual way, right? She wasn't trying to be creepy. She just wanted to have some good old-fashioned fun getting a creepy guy to kiss her butthole. Now, for multiple days, she's got like a violent stalker threatening to slit her friend's throats unless she fucks them, based on a random roll. And 1 to 4 days is getting off easy. There's a decent chance when you use this spell that you get that same effect, but permanent. You've now introduced as a permanent element of the campaign that you have a violent stalker who is trying to coerce you into sex. And of course, there's an 8% chance, all told, that instead of attacking your friends, the stalker simply attacks you, and if you don't fuck him, then he tries to murder you. So we've got stalking, we've got sexual harassment, we've got abusive relationships, everybody in. The train to Funtown is leaving soon. Sexual assault, suicide, there's barely room for you. You gotta hang on to the sides, we're taking off. This isn't even a good way to tell a story about like stalking or domestic abuse or anything like that, because it starts with the victim, the person being stalked, bringing it on themselves by casting this spell. So I don't even want to say this spell is the dumbest thing on this page because it's not specific enough. Here's the problem. Thinking about how this all plays out for like Allison or, you know, whoever, whatever hypothetical character takes this spell. Let's say you're a player who, for whatever reason, you read this spell and it doesn't immediately set off warning bells for you. Like maybe you're somebody who comes to this from a very tactical RP light background in role playing. Somebody who's really used to like dungeon crawls with like very paper thin character avatars for the players. You know, you solve puzzles, you kill monsters, you collect loot. You might easily look at this spell, this 8th level spell, which is pretty heavy duty, and think, okay, this is kind of like a phantasmal killer in a sense, because you can use this spell to make someone love you and then tell them to commit suicide. They do get a second save. So again, like phantasmal killer from Dungeons and Dragons, they get 2 saves, but if they fail, they're just dead outright. Against many foes, this is, if nothing else, a whole lot faster than trying to whittle away somebody's SDC or hit points with, you know, your energy bolt, your fire blast, your call lightning, etc., etc. So you might look at this and think, well, hey, this is a hell of an offensive spell. 2 saves away from instant death, essentially. Sign me up. I want that. That'll be a great way to take down intelligent enemies that I can't harm because they're, you know, too physically tough. By doing this and then adjudicating the spell as written, this player is now forcing the GM to pretty much routinely play NPCs who fall in love and then commit suicide out of heartbreak. Also, to take NPCs who just existed already in the world and were in your way, maybe as a player, and because of the side effects of the spell, are permanently transformed into abusive stalkers who attempt to coerce sex from a player character. That spills out, too. Like, they're going to start going after the other characters. This is, like, really serious, dark, real-world stuff. Targeting people's friends, threatening suicide, trying to emotionally manipulate people into sex. You're obliging the GM and the other players to have this in the campaign by taking and casting this spell. Now, I grant you, this spell does say, quote, characters of a good alignment try to avoid using this magic. Yeah, I fucking hope so. Like, this is an outright violation of consent. This is overwrite someone's will with an unreasoning trust for you and desire to fuck you to the extent that they will kill themselves on your command. It's not the kind of thing I can see Superman doing, to put it mildly. So maybe this is not like a highly encouraged player character option, but this game explicitly allows for playing non-good player characters, and it demands that you play those non-good player characters in character, just as selfish or as evil as their alignment would dictate. So either we're talking about a player playing an evil character and using this spell indiscriminately, a good character casting this spell only in dire circumstances, like Lord Ruthless is about to destroy the city, we haven't been able to beat him, we've got no other choice, let me put the whammy on him so that he wants to fuck me so bad he commits suicide as a line of last defense for the city. Like, even though it's like pretty morally questionable, it's better than having the nuke go off. Or we're talking about an antagonist having this spell and using it on NPCs or, God forbid, player characters, forcing them to become either stalkers or unwilling suicides. There's basically no good outcome here, at least for most campaigns. I can very easily imagine like a very dark campaign where we have a character who has the ability to do this to people's minds, and really doing some intensive storytelling about just how grim this kind of power is. Heroes Unlimited is not that game, at least not for the vast majority of campaigns. The dumbest thing on this page is that there is no mention of checking in with other players or the GM before taking this spell. You don't get that many 8th level spells. So if you take this at character creation, let's say you make your character independently, as was the practice back in the old days of gaming. You make your character at home and then, bring them to the table and the GM figures it out. If you take this spell, it's a huge part of your power base. And for it to work, everybody else at the table just has to accept that we're going to be dealing with like a lot of heartbroken suicides and a lot of abusive stalkers and a lot of semi to non-consensual fucking in this campaign. And that is not a cool thing to spring on other people. So yeah, the dumbest thing in this page, and it is because this game is of its time, is that there's no mention of sort of checking in to make sure that everybody's okay with this being that kind of campaign before you take this spell. I honestly think it's just that at this time, most role-playing game designers and players somehow didn't have a sense that this could be a problem for people. It's weird to think back on now, but I think that was the assumption for a long time, that we were just all comfortable playing this sort of thing out if the dice fell that way. I mean, hell, I'm guilty of this. I had a vampire campaign where I had what I continue to think was a pretty cool plotline where one of the player characters, Ghouls, who she'd had to embrace over the course of events in the campaign, he was no longer happy just being a servant to her, had fallen in love with her, and ended up killing himself because she didn't want to be with him. I think it was dramatically quite good, but looking back on it, I absolutely should not have pulled that without some real explicit conversation about where it was going with the player, because that's how we played at the time. But the fact that it was a very common design problem in games from this time period does not mean it wasn't a design problem. It always was. It was always dumb. Gaming as a culture just didn't notice that it was bad design until embarrassingly late in the day. But here we are, and knowing what we know, this is the dumbest thing in this page. I would never take this spell without consulting with the group, and frankly, I would never take this spell. It just seems unpleasant to me. But if I for some reason had like an irresistible character concept that demanded that I use a spell like this, I would absolutely clear it with other people and, offer to maybe rework the spell. Because maybe I want to spend my Thursday nights playing stories about suicide and sexual assault, but maybe somebody else at this table is just here to play Hammerclit, and I gotta respect that. Anyway, that's enough of the serious stuff. Join me next time as we discuss a design oversight that I take as a very personal affront on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.